Now I'm going to be talking about you, Foster. As the children find their way back to their seat, I am hereby going on official record to members of our congregation that the seven-minute sermon you're going to hear now will hardly ever be heard again, special just for the children's program. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our brief but important message this morning is, Let's Abolish Christmas. Let me read to you from Philippians chapter 2. Listen carefully to this text. Jesus Christ, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant made in the likeness of men, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, then, God exalted him and gave him the name which is above all names, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Again, our title of our message is Let's Abolish Christmas. If you listen carefully to Foster, and we'll have a little discussion after the service is over, Foster, I quote, said, I want to skip all this Christmas stuff and just get to the presents. This children's musical asks the question, what would life be like without Jesus born at Christmas? And so our sermon title is, Let's Abolish Christmas. Now the title is only half serious, but let's focus on the half that is serious. Because today there is a profound sickness in Christmas. And no, commercialism isn't the culprit. Now, it's a standard routine of preachers these days to bash commercialism. Oh, they are taking Christmas away. Oh, all this focus on buying presents. No, we're not going to bash commercialism today. Because despite itself, commercialism forces our world to acknowledge the birth of Jesus Christ. When people on their lips even have the words Merry Christmas during this season, the world is compelled to say the name of Christ out loud. And the chairman of any business, the chairman of any corporation, the chairman of any advertising agency during this season cannot ignore the fact of Christmas. And St. Paul says in the text that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But he did not necessarily say the knees bowing, the tongue confessing would be in faith or adoration. There will come a time, St. Paul says, and maybe we live in that time, when people are compelled to confess the birth of Christ. No, a reason to abolish Christmas is not commercialism. But here's a reason. The reason we should abolish Christmas is because we who know better see Christmas as an end, not a beginning. Christmas is the beginning of a journey, the journey of God to come to our world that climaxes at the cross and the empty tomb of Easter. But what would we do with Christmas? We would isolate Christmas. We would freeze frame it and put it on a Hallmark card. We would make it an event complete in itself. We would make Christmas one day in December. We're tempted to make Christmas a festival of children. And so we look in the manger and we say, oh, look at the cute little baby Jesus. Or we look at the children in front and we say, look at the children, aren't they so cute? That they may be. But this can lead our world today to the false idea and the false sentiment that, and you've heard it, Christmas is for children. And this leads us to the real problem. We're tempted to see Christmas apart from the cross. Did you know that the early Christian church, for the first 300 years of its existence, did not celebrate Christmas? Instead, the early church focused on Easter as the climax of Jesus' life and the celebration of his victory over sin and death and the devil. Christmas was seen as only the beginning of the journey of God to come here and do battle with the forces of darkness, to do battle with the powers of sin and death and devil. No, Christmas, if we see it properly, should always turn our eyes toward Easter. Because when you look in that Bethlehem's manger, you don't just see the babe of Mary. You also see the crucified and victorious Son of God. At Christmas time, we talk a lot about glory. Where is true glory to be found? True glory is not just found in angels singing, shepherds bowing, and wise men giving gifts. But the glory of God at Christmas is especially seen when we realize that little baby grew to be the man who was the Savior, who allowed sinful men to nail him to a cross to pay for your sins and to thank God to pay for mine, but then to be raised on Easter Sunday to give the gift of heaven to all who put their faith in him. Christmas must lead us to Easter. The message that began with the angels and shepherds and wise men comes to the full crescendo when our Lord says these words, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live." May this truth enrich your celebration of Christmas this year and every year. Jesus is born to be our Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen. Don't expect such a short sermon again. Let's now.